Hey, hit me!
Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416. National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
Yes, very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry. I come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country. That's BBM, Bumbabrip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation, thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. Have you saying yarn up strong, you mob. Now, fresh perspective on golf. We're talking golf dreaming. Now, Fair Play Publishing is delighted to announce the release of Golf Dreaming by Professor John Maynard, a groundbreaking exploration of golf's place in Australia's sporting and cultural history from an Aboriginal perspective. And with that, we have Professor John Maynard on the line. Good morning, my brother. How are you?
Really good, Trev. Good to be here, bud.
Thank you very much for coming. And before we start, let the mob know who your mob, where you're from, brother.
Yeah, Warramai fella from the Port Stephens region of New South Wales, the centre of the universe, bud.
Yeah, there you go. Thank you. Look up to you. And I'm up here in far north Queensland. So, yeah, look, thank you for coming to the program. So when we talk about golf, people tend to think a rich man's game, a white man's game, but not the case, Professor John Maynard, brother.
No, we've always found ways and means of playing the game. And as you say, I mean, it was the aristocracy, the rich white fella's game, you know. And to be truthful, I mean, there were barriers to us, you know, to play golf, because to afford a set of clubs or to afford or to gain even entrance into a golf club, there were serious barriers to admittance to us. But the reality is we found our ways onto the course, and there's a long history of it. But there's another factor to that, Trev, is that we were playing forms of golf in traditional times. Up there in Queensland, the protector of Aborigines, Walter Roth, in the late 1880s and 1890s, wrote some stuff, and he said, the blackfellas are playing some form of golf, you know, without clubs. And that entailed, there's about three or four different accounts across the country, and that one that Roth recorded, there was a hole, but it had a sort of a cross bunker net protecting the hole.
Yes.
And you were hurling objects to try and clear that bunker and get it into the hole. So, you know, a form of golf.
Yeah.
And then another one was a boomerang. And it wasn't a boomerang to come back. It was thrown at a target, you know, with a peg in the ground. Very similar to a golf green's flagpole, you know. So, yeah, we had these the forms of games that... clearly, we were a part of before the white fellas even got here.
Well, we're talking about 60,000 years, and we're talking about all facets of life. So if we're talking about hunting, gathering, whatever the case may be, we're talking lovemaking, producing a family, but we're talking entertainment, we're talking sporting, we're talking activities. So, of course, there would have been stuff coming to them. I mean, they even talk of AFL, starting with First Nation people.
Yeah, well, that's right. There was forms of football played across the country. Mangrook, of course, in Victoria.
Yes.
But it was all about teaching skills, building athleticism, stamina and speed. And that's all connected with the hunting and gathering lifestyle.
Exactly.
And there's a whole host of early settler accounts stating how fit and healthy, you know, our people were. You know, incredible forms of physical specimens, basically.
Yes.
You know, and that was through that you know, athletic and sporting interest that we had.
Yeah. So when you look at it, my friend, and we talk about golf dreaming, where are we at with it? What's your vision? What can we do? And I would think that there are deadly blackfellas out there, male or females, who would know how to swing a club, brother.
Absolutely. Well, the National Aboriginal Golf Championships have been played since 1979.
Okay.
In 2019, it was the 40th anniversary of that event. So we've had some good golf. We've had some really good golfers. Scott Gardner was a New South Wales golfer. He actually made it to the USPGA Tour in 2012, but he was in tournaments with Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson. You know, Paddy Mills, our great basketballer, was a good friend of his and used to go along to the tournaments to follow him. You know?
Yeah, gotcha.
So these are great histories. I mean, that's the thing that I've always been writing about in the last 30 years is our history is like a giant jigsaw puzzle with most of the pieces missing.
Yeah.
We've all got a role to play to put those pieces back in. And I've done books on Aboriginal jockeys, Aboriginal soccer players, and now golf, because the reality is people don't know these stories.
Yeah.
And that's the importance. We want that to inspire our young ones coming through, can have a go.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, you even mentioned jockey, and here we have Uncle Frank Reyes, who won the Melbourne Cup, Indigenous man here from far north Queensland, you know what I mean? Get a mention,
Darling
so
McCarthy,
to speak, you know?
Of course, was a legend.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and don't get a mention. But look, here's a platform as such, you know. And if you look at the talent, natural talent we got as Indigenous people, as black people, you know, anything to do with sports, we're pretty much up there and we can pick it up and run with it, so to speak. So this Golf Dreaming can perform, can create a platform to big and better things. And when you look at sports and what have you, and you've got the little green tennis ball and the white golf ball, there's big money in that sport, you know what I mean? If we've got the natural talent, there's an
absolutely
entrepreneurship. There's a platform for a business entity, you could say.
We've also got to note that the reality is there were coal bars of exclusion, you know, from the 19th century through two-thirds of the 20th century. We're great sporting talent that we had, Aboriginal men and women, were not given the opportunity
exactly,
to
because
play
of racism.
The sports they were so good at.
Yep.
You know, it wasn't until the 60s and the 70s, even rugby league and AFL, slowly began to open the doors. When they realised the talent, I mean, the doors were kicked in.
Yeah, exactly.
And we've seen over the last 40 to 50 years, the greatest players in both those codes have been blackfellas.
Yes. Exactly. Well, you look at the NRL Grand Final in 2015 when you had Jonathan Thurston, captain for Cowboys, and Justin Hodges, captain for Broncos, you know what I mean?
That's right.
There
Absolutely.
It is, leading from the front. So we do have a tournament, a golf tournament, Indigenous golf tournament, do we not, Professor John?
Yeah, the National Indigenous Golf Championship. They're going since 1979.
Okay.
You know, and I've dedicated the book to JD, Johnny Delaney, who was one of those who was instrumental in setting that golf championship, and we lost JD last year.
Yeah,
I mean, I did an interview with him for this book, and I dedicated the book to his memory.
Yeah.
So, we had some great pioneers as far as golf's concerned. And as you say, there's great opportunities. What we need is support from government, support from golf clubs. I mean, to give our mob the opportunities, particularly the kids, to play the game. We could unearth the next Tiger Woods, an Aboriginal Tiger
Exactly,
Woods.
Exactly. And we need all the different sports activities out there to be at the table. When we talk about youth crime, for example, idle time, idle hands, devil's playground, if we've got these kids being active, there's talent there that could come to the surface, and there lies the vision of their future. You don't know.
That's exactly right, bud. You've knocked it on the head. When they talk about this crime, the reality is kids have got nothing. You know, give them an opportunity.
Exactly.
Give them some support. Give them opportunities to play sport and games and encourage them into that space. And that's what they need.
Sure.
And golf's another game with incredible opportunities to, take them to the next step.
Exactly. And look, I did mention as an example, I mentioned youth crime, but just to elaborate on that and to confirm that not all youth crime are Indigenous boys and girls,
no,
of course.
That's right. No,
thank you,
exactly.
You know? Brother, look, this is fantastic. Thank you for sharing, Professor John Maynard. Do you still swing the club, my friend?
I do. Got a bit of arthritis, Trevor, and had a knee replacement. No, but try to get around twice a week.
Yeah, beautiful. Well, that's good to hear. Look, thank you for the yarn. Very important space to all our Delhi brothers and sisters out there. Look, if you're looking for something different or you want to give it a shot, never know, you may find your love or your profession as such. But a great opportunity. We need more black fellas in this space, and you don't have to have a yacht tied up the back of your mansion to play golf, hey, brother?
That's right, bud. That's exactly right, bud. Thanks very much for having me on. I really appreciate it. And, you know, best wishes to all the mob out there, right?
Yeah, too deadly. Nice yarn with you, Professor John Maynard. You take care, brother. We'll yarn soon.
All right, bud. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye now.
Deadly Professor John Maynard, author of Golf Dreamy and Emeritus Professor at Indigenous History from the University of Newcastle, and talk about Golf Dreaming, a fresh perspective on golf. Golf Dreaming, food for thought, you mob. This is your daily program, National Talk Black, yarning up strong here. The Bally One, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. I'm your host for your daily program, National Talk Black, and we're live here at the First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your Dindi country, BBM Bumrabrip Media, 98.7 FM, and we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. Yarn up strong, too deadly. Very good morning, you daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. I come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your Dindi country. That's BBM Bumrabrip Media, 98.7 FM, and go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. Have your say and yarn up strong. KIAF, that's Cairns Indigenous Art Fair, showcase catapults artists to exhibition heights. So we're talking about the Dili work that they're doing and creating a space for our Dili First Nation artists. Kai's been running to 16-odd years and heading back to the tanks, 15 years that is, and heading back to the tanks where it first started. Look, we're going to catch up with one of the Dili artists, and that's Arabella Walker, opens up her solo exhibition as a representative artist, Gentle Shifts, and we have Arabella on the line. Arabella, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm well, thank you.
Good. Thank you very much for coming to the program. Before we start, my sister, let the mob know who your mob, where you from.
So, my name's Arabella Walker. My mob's Willy Willy, which is about 2 hours inland from Chinchillaway.
All right, fantastic. Beautiful. Yeah. Big shout out to your beautiful mob. Thank you for coming to the program. So you have a solo exhibition representing artist Gentle Shifts. And first time with Kaya, Cairns Indigenous Art Fair, yes?
Yes, so last year was my first year exhibiting with Kaya.
Good.
As the independent artist then, but now I'm, representative artist by Jen Manton. Yeah.
Fantastic.
What's changed?
Changed. Well, they're fantastic. So tell us about your story. Were you always an artist? Did you have vision to become an artist when you were at school? Or tell us your story there, sister.
Yeah. So I grew up dancing. I come from, I would probably say, a pretty sporty, creative family. I grew up dancing, the whole ballet, tap, jazz, all that. And then I did started a pre-professional dance degree at QUT. And then COVID hit, and I thought, I kind of wanted to do a bit of a change.
Mm-hmm.
So I ended up going to Griffith and doing a Bachelor of Contemporary Australian Indigenous Art.
Thank you, COVID-19. Thank you, COVID-19. Pushed you into this field.
Honestly, yeah. Yeah.
Fantastic.
And kind of just went from there. Went from exhibiting to, making connections, a lot of family research, a lot of experimenting. And then ended up at Kaya's last year, and then now I'm signed with Jen Manton. So it's been a crazy couple of years.
Fantastic.
Busy.
Fantastic. And you mentioned off air there that you virtually never grew up on country, but then that becomes a part of your foundation regarding your work. Is that right?
Yeah. A lot of my work is around observing colours and patterns from country and looking at identity and where I sit with country. And I grew up in Brisbane, so I'm about 5 hours away from country. So I've got a really interesting relationship with country where it's like I'm wanting to learn more. I wasn't there to witness everything, the seasons changing and the colours and patterns. So I think that's why I'm very fascinated in my artwork of bringing that in. And kind of exploring identity and connection to country in that way, yeah.
And when you're talking artwork and you're talking colours, so I'm assuming, it's a painting, not sculpture or not clay, so to speak, not clay work, pottery?
I do painting. I prefer to do large-scale painting.
Yes.
Everything from murals to canvases,
So the old saying, the old artist with the saying from one of the big time artists, Vince Van Gogh. People asked him, "How did you paint such beautiful painting?" He says, "I dreamed my painting, then I painted my dream." So I'm picking that up with you in regarding your work, not living on country, and say the vision or the communication with your ancestors, whatever the case may be, that would come out in your artwork, yes?
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. Yeah, it's definitely like this connection and kind of obsession, I'd probably say, of what's happening and what it looks like, and that's kind of what's shown in my artwork,
So this is your new pathway, your career pathway as such? Are you still shaking booty, dancing, or where are you at?
I occasionally do dancing. My sister's a professional dancer.
Okay.
So we premiered a show last year. But definitely more on the painting side, but I still enjoy dancing,
Well, you can still do dancing, shake your booty, but then have the backdrop, your beautiful artwork in the backdrop, kill two birds, one stone, double dipping.
Best of both worlds, hey.
Best of both worlds. So your vision to continue in this space and from KIAF, where from here, what's the plan in the future?
The mission is basically just to continue creating and experimenting and kind of building connections. In an ideal world, I'd love to exhibit internationally, but that will take a few years to get there. So, it's just building those foundations and those connections and making sure my art practice is still developing and growing and being challenged.
Definitely.
So, long way to go, but we've got this. a start.
Yes, well, beginning's half done. Enjoy the journey. That's what it's all about. Arabella, very good talking with you. Thank you very much for sharing. All the best. Keep doing what you're doing. Enjoy the journey. And we will see you at CIAF. And you take care, sister.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for having me.
All the best. Bye-bye.
Bye.
A deadly yarn, beautiful yarn. That's Arabella Walker and, solo exhibition and happening at CIAF this year, Cairns Indigenous Art Fair, operating 15-odd years. So up here in Cairns and going back to the original venue, the Tanks, this year. That's July 10 to 13 July. So do lock that away in regarding date claiming you mob and see our beautiful artists in action and the work that they do. And, bring your wallet, bring your credit card, and, support this fantastic space, support our artists. This is your daily program, National Talk Black, and we're here at the First Nation radio station here in Cairns on your Dingy Country, BBM Bummer Bip Media, 98.7 FM, and we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. So a big shout-out to all the First Nation radio stations across this deadly country of ours, a deadly vehicle. We are the voices for our people, so do yarn up strong here on National Talk Black. To Deadly, stay tuned. Keep yarns coming your way on National Talk Black.
Saddle up, take me there. Tackle the bumps if you dare. Stranded deep back country, lay it all down on the table. Don't lie if you're able. Just tell your story, lie. Just be the only chance you have. Understand if you don't take my advice. None with the influence I've had. I know I've had a second chance more than twice. That's the story of my life. Stay too strong to be broken down. After a broken heart left you bound. But I've been there, believe me. Covered your face with your hands, trying to avoid the fear. But it's all over now. Dragging your feet on the ground. Understand if you don't take my advice. And on with the influence I've had. And I know I've had a second chance more than twice. That's the story of my life. Got caught up in life's unfair game, often left wondering. What exactly is my plan? Left your home for new beginnings. Left your work, left your things. trying to forget the pain. Even thought about changing your name. Understand if you don't take my advice, and on with the influence I've had. I know I've had a second chance more than twice, and that's the story of my life. Understand if you don't take my advice, and on with the influence I've had. I know I've had a second chance more than twice, and that's the story of my life.
Hey you mob, did you know Child's World Early Learning Centre's free kindergarten approved program has been nurturing growth and learning for over 30 years with early childhood education for children aged from 6 weeks to kindergarten? To find out more, get in contact at 4045 4045. Station sponsor.
First Nations Connect is Telstra's phone line and service centre for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander customers. You can call our friendly team on 1800 444 403 if you have any questions about your Telstra phone or internet plan, or visit telstra.com and search First Nations Connect. That's 1800 444 403 and telstra.com. Search First Nations Connect.
Station sponsor.
National Talk Black.
Mara Sound Productions. When I was a young boy, I used to ask my old man, Daddy, can you learn me Badu song? They say, wah, wah, you no forget my boy, you lack them Badu man. I say, hey, speak, I go sing you this song. This song is called the German March. Yeah.
Yes, very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trinity Trev, Murray from the Curry. I come to you live from First Session Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country, BBM Bumrabrip Media, 98.7 FM, and we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. Yarn up strong, you mob, too deadly. All right, workshop brings Cape York organisations together. Fantastic. We're going to catch up a yarn with forum organisers. We have Lachlan Bissani, First Nations Engagement Officer, and Charlene Crisbrook, Executive Coordinator and First Nation Engagement Officer as well. A very good morning to you both. Hi, guys.
Good morning.
Yes.
Good morning. Good morning.
Got you both. Thank you very much. Start with Charlene. Charlene, who's Charlene Crisbrook? Who you mob, where you from, or who's Charlene? Tell us who you are.
So my mob is from the Central Queensland region. So I'm an Eman Wadja Wadja.
Yes.
Woman from around the Taroom Warrabinda area.
Beautiful. A big shout out to you, mob. Thank you very much. Lachlan, who you mob? Where you from, brother?
Hey, yeah. So my mob is Lama Lama and Bindiwata up in Cape York. I was born and raised in the Cape. And
yes.
Yeah. Love it up there.
Fantastic, beautiful. Good footprint. Thank you very much. Okay, let's talk about this fantastic forum, this workshop. Fantastic. Getting mob together. Why was the workshop organised?
So the Cape York Conversations, the Pathways to Partnership, it was organised to create a space for First Nations communities, traditional owners, and key stakeholders just to come together and discuss ways to improve and collaboration in land and water management. The aim was for it to strengthen partnerships, share insights and identify opportunities for collective actions on critical issues facing Cape York's environment and community.
Yep, fantastic. And so the type of Cape York organisations attending, who will be attending? Who's been invited as us?
So we've had over 80 organisations invited. A lot of them are in the natural resource management sector. So
okay,
a lot of them cover ranger groups, corporations and land trusts.
Which is good, which creates a platform for deadly conversations, yes.
Yeah, that's right.
And what kind of topics will be discussed at the workshop? Is what I'm alluding to, yeah.
So we discussed, again, things relating to natural resource management. So fire management, weed management. We also went into a bit of cultural heritage and governance. And on-country planning was a popular one as well.
Yes. So you think that the importance of these organisations getting together, we're probably also talking about shared ideas and shared ideas that work, or questions to what can work, a robust conversation, you could say.
That's right, that's right. And, yeah, it's more so, you know, getting all these organisations together too to learn off each other, that peer-to-peer learning, and encourage more of that. So then organisations that are more established can help the ones that are just starting out and, yeah, help each other out, really.
Yeah, because it's all about collaboration, which enables First Nation communities to take, like, a leading role in managing their land and their resources, like with combining traditional knowledge with modern methods. And it just ensures that all parties can align their efforts towards common goals, which is critical for the creating long-term sustainable outcomes.
Yes. And look, I'm loving your vision regarding getting the mob together, which is fantastic. Can you paint a picture in regard to how did this vision come to the table and the fruition of having it happen? I mean, what hat do you guys wear? And do you work with an organisation? Are you private companies or individual consultants? Paint that picture, please.
So this whole idea for this forum really started before I and Charlene started working for Cape York NRM. It was an idea that our CEO, Pip Shrew, came up with, along with our two directors on our board.
Okay, and then just confirming, Cape York is NRM, which is Natural Resource Management. Yep.
That's right, yeah.
So your CEO came with the concept and idea, Sorry, continue.
Yep, and also our two directors on our board, one of them being an Indigenous person from Cape York as well. And, yeah, the idea to get...
Who's that person? What's that person's name?
So that person's name was Kieran Murray.
Kieran Murray, yes. Big shout out, Kieran Murray, yep.
And, yeah, it was a... It basically started between those discussions of, oh, how do we, you know, get everyone on the same page when it comes to issues like this and with fire management and weed management and whatnot. And I guess it really, those discussions really turned into this forum.
Sure, fantastic. Now, if you look at it, it's very, very important. It's so simple in there. We're talking about a yarning circle, a deadly one at that, having more about the table and the vision for driving forward, you know. So possibly, hopefully, this becomes a deadly conversation as such and some good outcomes. And then we can probably look at an annual event, I would think, Lachlan, Charlene.
Yeah, I agree. Like, depending on what mob wants, you know, because this is led by them and this
exactly.
All these discussions are for them and from them. So, yeah, it's really whatever they want.
Well, and it helps to create a more unified approach to tackling all the complex environmental and cultural challenges as well up in the Cape York.
Yes, so true. So, yeah, so from little things, big things grow, an opportunity, turn around the corner. And so when does the forum kick off?
The forum already went ahead.
So okay, excuse me.
The forum was last Wednesday.
All right, well, tell me about the feedback. How was it then? Sorry, I thought it was upcoming.
It went very well, actually. We got a lot of positive feedback from everyone who attended. And, there's already been interest in doing another one. So
lovely.
Yeah. And we also got out of it, like, key discussion highlights. Mm. So the forum challenges, discussions and group activities.
Yes.
So we identified key priorities for future collaboration and initiatives. So the four top outcomes were on country planning, fire management, governance, and weed control.
Yeah, right here. Beautiful. Yeah, thank you. And good topics. And a foundation of, caring for country. Fantastic. So this looks good in regard to meat on the bone, a possibility of another one next year. How about the... delivery as such, did you have a spokesperson or different speakers from outside, or was it an open forum and everyone had a chance to talk, or paint that picture, please?
So it was an open forum, and it's basically an open floor for anyone of these corporations and land trust to voice their concerns or their barriers and all pretty much share.
Or ideas and sharing it and what have you and feedback and questions and, fantastic. Well, congratulations, both of you. Team effort and a huge success is what I'm hearing. So fantastic. And possibility of doing it again next year. But thank you for your yarn to the mob out there who listen across the country. Know what's happening in Cape York, thanks to Natural Resource Management as well. And thank you, Lachlan. Thank you, Charlene. And a big shout out to the rest of your mob up that way.
Thanks, Trevor.
Take care, you guys. Keep doing it. Keep in touch, eh? Bye-bye.
See you. Bye.
A deadly yarn, beautiful yarn. Lachlan Bassini and also Charlene Crestbrook and talking about Cape York Natural Resource Management and workshops bring Cape York organisations together. So it was fantastic. Huge success. Happened last week, apparently. And so good reports from it. So hopefully a continuation with that and make it an annual event. That sounds deadly. And that is a yarning circle. A deadly one where you have everybody at the table. You can have deadly yarns. Your daily program, National Talk Black. We're live here at the First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country, BBM Bumblebee Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. Yarn up strong, your mob too deadly. National Talk Black.
Your color, as long as you're a true fella, as long as you're a real fella. All the people of different races, with different lives, in different places, it doesn't matter
what your name is. We got the hair, lots of changes. We need more brothers if we're to make it. We need more sisters if we're to save it. Are you the one who's gonna stand up and be counted? Are you the one who's gonna be there when we shout it? Are you the one who's always ready with a helping hand? Are you the one who understands this family plan?
Black fella, white fella, yellow fella, any fella.
It doesn't matter what your color, as long as you're a true fella. All the people of different races, with different lives, in different places. It doesn't matter which religion, it's all the same when the ship is sinking. We need more brothers if we're to make it. We need more sisters if we're to save it. Are you the one?